Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Tonight we're talking about traditions. Traditions. Do you have traditions in your household? Things that you do the same at certain periods of the year? Some households have traditions concerning their meals. I know one family that they have a tradition where every Friday night they dress up in their what we term Sunday best and sit down to a very formal meal. All of the china comes out, the three spoons and the eight forks and the whole, you know what I'm talking about? The whole thing comes out, and they have a very formal meal every Friday night. And it has its pluses to it. I can see some real advantages. I mean, those kids know how to handle themselves in when they get it put into formal situations. Some other households have different ones. Maybe your household, maybe Thanksgiving is always turkey. Always. I mean, that's part of it. And Christmas is always ham. You just don't mix those two. I mean, Thanksgiving is turkey, Christmas is ham. That's the way you do it. I know some missionaries over in Norway, and you know, their traditions are quite a bit different than ours. In fact, their lifestyle is quite a bit different. What I would consider traditions, when those kids go to school, they have a snack at about 10 o'clock, which is usually some fruit, and around noon they have lunch. Do you know what lunch is there? Everybody eats the same thing. It's usually some sort of spread on some saltines. That is lunch. Around 2 o'clock, they eat something else, very, very light. And then basically, after 3:30, they may nibble on something, but they don't have any meal the rest of the evening. They eat a big breakfast, and that's it. And then the rest of the time, it's that. Now, I want to stress that this is not a matter of taste, as far as if that's what you want to eat if you're in Norway. It's tradition. Those missionary kids said, you don't take any meat to lunch, and you get sent home if you bring any junk food. You believe it? I mean, that's nationally. You just don't eat it. You bring potato chips, you're home. I mean, that's it. No ho-hos, no ding-dongs. I know, just boggles our minds. But it's tradition. Now, let me say that tradition is very useful because it provides continuity. When I was growing up, there are certain things that we always did at Christmas. And that provided continuity. As a young child, I could look forward to certain things that we would always do. And so tradition is very useful in the way it's intended to be. But let me ask you a question. What happens when tradition gets into religion and it starts to control your religion? What happens? This is exactly what Jesus is dealing with in chapter 7. Let's look at it. In Mark 7, verse 1, it says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes who came from Jerusalem, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there are which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, bronze vessels and of tables." Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. However, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments or the traditions of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father and mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye permit him no more to do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. Now, he's going to pound that word into the ground in this passage, isn't he? He is dogmatic on this. Tradition, keep in mind, we are not attacking tradition as such. I'm saying tradition in its place has great value of continuity. But Jesus said, when you allow tradition to come into your religion, and you see all sorts of things that the tradition was doing that was opposed to the Word of God. And whether it's us or anybody else, when we allow tradition to start slipping into our lives, tradition meaning anything to where it takes priority in our lives and it is part of what we do, and yet it is not written in God's Word, we've got to be very careful. And we've got to ask ourselves, when does tradition get too big? When does it get out of hand? When has it gone beyond what it was intended to do? When it gets beyond its intended value? We might ask ourselves specifically, how can I recognize in my life when a tradition or anything that I have brought into my life that the Word of God does not specifically state, how can I recognize when it's getting too big? Now let's look at this. In verses 1 through 5, I'll give you the first one. How can we recognize when tradition is out of hand? Number one, when we become defensive when God speaks. When we become defensive when God speaks. Now let's explain this a little bit. In verses 1 through 5, we see that the Pharisees are openly hostile toward Jesus Christ. In fact, it tells us that the Pharisees and the scribes in verse 1 have got together and they've come from Jerusalem and they're here for only one reason, and that is so that they can find fault with Jesus and his disciples. That's what the end of verse 2 tells us. They came and they found fault. They were just looking for something that they might accuse Jesus and the disciples of. They found something. And what they chose to attack him on was something that had become a tradition in their lives, but wasn't found anywhere in the Word of God. What was this tradition? Let's call it ceremonial washing. Ceremonial washing. As we read this, you may have started to think to yourself, well, did the disciples have dirty hands and, you know, they never washed before they ate? It's not what it's talking about. This is not talking about personal hygiene. It's not talking about something that God had dictated to Israel in the law. This is something that they had taken and had made as a tradition in Israel. That tradition had become so big in their minds that when Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, talked about it, they became very defensive. Jesus never hesitates to disturb tradition when it's not in the Word of God. He doesn't hesitate a bit to stir us up a little bit. When the Holy Spirit comes to our lives and starts knocking on a certain area in our lives and begins to convict, sometimes we respond by saying, But Lord, I've always done it that way. That's the way I've always done it in my life. What's the big deal? The Holy Spirit comes, knocks on that place again. He says, No, I'm not satisfied with that part in your life, but good night, Lord. I mean, after all, I mean, I grew up with it that way. Surely I can continue to do it that way. And he says, wait. He said, number one, is it in my word? We begin to ask ourselves, okay, do sometimes I fight what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me because I say to myself, but that's the way I've always done it. That's the way I've always done it. Let's face it, there's a lot of things in our lives that we may have grown up with. There may be some things that we're very comfortable with on the surface, but then the Holy Spirit comes along and he starts working on us concerning those things. But Jesus never hesitates to work on our traditions. Now, this ceremonial cleansing took on some specific areas in their lives. Now, they resented Jesus openly questioning their authority about this. Remember, we're dealing with Pharisees. Pharisees are used to having a lot of clout. And verse 3 again explains that the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, they don't eat. And it's a tradition of the elders. When they come to the marketplace, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things there are which they have received to hold, such as the washing of pots and cups and bronze vessels and tables. Now, again, this isn't dealing with hygiene. This is what they were doing. By practicing this ceremonial washing before they would eat, or before they would go into the marketplace, what was that doing? That was giving them something to hold over other people. You see, God's word said nothing about the ceremonial washing. But what they were doing is by bringing this into their lives as a tradition, people would look at them. And the Jews would say, oh, you don't ceremonially wash before you eat? Oh, you don't ceremonially wash before you go into the marketplace? And the other people began to look around and say, boy, did I miss something? I mean, they began to look and say, what are they talking about? And what they had done, they had brought in the tradition, they had literally invented something that made them superior to other people. Do you have some things in your life that are not specifically said in God's Word, but you know them, but you do them, and you look at other people, and if they don't do them, I'm better than you are. I do this, and you don't. But that made them good. And they labeled other people unclean. Now, Jesus is questioning their authority on this. Jesus is calling their bluff and saying, wait a minute, where did you get that? It didn't come from God's word. Where did you get the ceremonial cleansing business? Where did you get this washing before you go into the marketplace? What's its value? Why are you doing that? Now, they didn't like Jesus questioning their authority. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of some officials coming in and questioning a doctor who has illegal practices. A doctor who is practicing some things that are clearly not provable in any science. In fact, it's detrimental to the people. And they come in and question the people about the validity of what they're doing. And they bristle. They bristle. On some of the news magazines on television, sometimes you see a reporter go in and begin to question somebody about their practices and it's illegal. And they go in and they begin to prod, and you see those people, a lot of times they shut the door, they push their hand in front of the camera and say, get out of here. And that's exactly what's happening. Jesus is prodding on something. He says, you have no biblical validity for what you're doing. That is nothing but a tradition, and you are telling people that they are unspiritual if they don't do that. Or if they do that. And this ceremonial washing indicated that they had a very wrong attitude toward other people. You say, how so? because they were in essence using this as snob appeal. You know, if you don't wash, you just don't have it. It's kind of like what we see in the world today. If you don't drive an $80,000 European car, you don't have it. That's what some of the programs on TV would give you to believe, isn't it? I mean, if you don't drive something German, you're out. Well, let's bring that into the spiritual realm. That's exactly what the Pharisees are doing. We have ceremonial washing. What do you got? And he's making them very uneasy. And as I said, if we become very uneasy with what God begins to deal with us about, we better stop and wait and ask ourselves, am I clinging to something that I want that isn't found in Scripture, and I'm making it on equal terms with Scripture? Well, let's move down to verse 8. Let's notice something else. Not only do we see that they were becoming defensive, but secondly, it forces us, if we're making something in our eyes, if something's of value to us, if we're making it too important in the religious realm, we become very hypocritical. And we may not realize it at first, but we are. We become very hypocritical. Verses 6 through 8 says, he answered unto them and said, well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. However, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men. Now they were wrongly teaching that holiness is an outward action. Only an outward action. Okay? He zeroes in. He said, with your lips, outwardly, you're honoring me. But he said, your heart, verse 6, is far from me. And by creating traditions, they were making themselves hypocrites. Because they said, we are honoring God with our tradition. And Jesus calls them on it. And he says, but I look at your heart. And your heart is far from me. You see, when religion allows tradition to come in, what happens? We begin to judge spirituality by whether we do those traditions or not. I think we fall into that sometimes. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to, if we are Christians, we ought to look like Christians, we ought to act like Christians, we ought to live our lives as Christians. But what can happen? We can take those things and turn them into traditions, which they don't have to be, and we can learn to play the part. Religion says, if I look good and I smell good, then I am good. And Jesus looks in and he says, you let me change you on the inside, and the outside will take care of itself. The outside will take care of itself. This last week I opened a milk carton. Carton looked beautiful. It was clean. I looked at the date. The date was December the 20th. Plenty of time. I opened that thing, and the smell. It was curdled. It was nauseating. And it looked great. Now, excuse the analogy, but there's a carton that's playing the part. It looks great. It's got the date on it. It's everything you look at, I say, that's a fine milk carton. That's a fine gallon of milk. Yet I opened it, and you've never, probably never used the term before, but that carton of milk was hypocritical. It was a hypocrite. It said something on the outside, and it wasn't on the inside. It was something completely different. Now, hypocrisy is when you are play-acting. Hypocrisy is when you are play-acting. Now, I want to blow this out of proportion because I want to draw it back in a minute. Now, I could bring one of you up here and we're going to play act. Okay? Let's say I'm up here and I pull one of you up here with me and I say, we are going to enact sumo wrestlers. Okay, if you know what a sumo wrestler is, they weigh, some of them weigh 500 pounds. Okay, now I'm going to get up and I'm going to play act a sumo wrestler, right? 500 pounds. This other person's going to get up with me and we're going to do that. And so we play out the part. We do what they do. But that is hypocritical. Why? Because I can play it out, but that is not me at all. Okay? I'm not a sumo wrestler. Not in the least. Now, that is what the word hypocritical means. It's to play out a part of something you are not at all. Now, what happened? When we allow something such as tradition or things that are good, but we learn to play those things, but we're something different on the inside, we can teach a person to do the do's and the don'ts about prayer. You can learn all the these and the thous in the right places. You can learn the proper method and mode of how to carry out a worship service. The sad thing is, you can learn all of those things. And yet on the inside, you can be like that carton of milk. You know, you can come in and you know all the things to do, but inside, it's rotten. It's rotten. And Jesus is saying, he said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Now, what does that do to you? You say, nothing, I'm getting away with it. Are you? It does a couple things to you. Number one, as we become hypocritical, it destroys your character. It destroys your character. Make a difference. It's been said that character is what you really are. It's what you really are. Now, you can carry on a front, and people look at you and they may have a pretty good opinion of you. But the real you is your character. And as you begin to play the part of a hypocrite, you begin to destroy your character. And after a while, you get to a place where you don't even like yourself anymore. You get to such a place that you know how to play the part, but you know inside you're not that way at all. And you even get tired of yourself. Destroys your character. Playing the part of a hypocrite also destroys your influence. Because after a while, people begin to see what you really are on the inside. Now, you play it for a while pretty good, but something will come along that will upset you, and then the real shows through what you really are. And he's warning, he said, listen, he said, if you learn to play the part, and you play the part when it's not you, something's going to happen, and you're going to show who you really are, and it's going to begin to destroy your influence. Destroys your character, destroys your influence, but sadly, it also destroys what you want the Word of God to do in those people around you. It affects the impact that the Word of God has in their lives. Look with me. I want you to notice a couple things. Notice what their hypocritical lives, when they were doing things that by tradition said you are spiritual, but their hearts were full of dead man's bones, so to speak. Notice what it did to the Word of God. It begins like this. Verse 7. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Okay, that's the first thing. They begin to teach traditions as if it was the Word of God. Okay, we're going to see a progression here. When we become hypocritical and we start playing the part, we begin to put those things and say, if you do these things, you're spiritual. We begin to teach traditions as if they were the Word of God. Secondly, in verse 8, the next step in the progression is you begin to lay aside the commandments of God and hang on to the traditions. Isn't it interesting that usually when we begin to backslide, the first thing to go is the real walk with God? That's what gets laid aside. And we do real good at the traditions. We still got the these and the thous down. We still got all the cream that goes on Christianity. And we lay aside the Word of God. If we let it go long enough, we get to verse 9. He says, full well, ye reject the commandments of God. After a while, we begin to question the Word of God. Here we are, we're believers. And we begin to question the Word of God, and we say, I don't like that part of the Word of God. I choose to do it my own way. And I want salvation, I want to go to heaven, but I get to this part of the Word of God, and I don't like what it says. Strong with a pastor last week, and you know what he told me? He said, as I was preaching and I was beginning to hone down on some specifics that the Word of God is very clear about, he said, I saw my audience, some people begin to shake their head no. He said, I don't know that they necessarily realized they were doing it outwardly. But as I was preaching, he said, I saw them begin to shake their head no. And it was, he said, I knew that before they ever did it. I could see it in their lives that they were closing themselves off and beginning to reject the Word of God in that area. Until we get down to verse 13, we see the next part of the progression, making the Word of God of no effect through your traditions. Now, we know the Word of God is always sharp and powerful, but what we're saying is that in your lives, you get to the place by playing the hypocrite, by allowing traditions to get too big in your lives, and not enough of the reality, that the Word of God isn't having its effect in your life like it should. So what do we have so far? We've got warning signs. When we become defensive when God speaks, secondly, it forces us, we become hypocrites by hanging on to traditions. And thirdly, we begin to make some very wrong choices. We begin to make some very wrong choices, such as, back in verse 8, when we have a choice between the tradition and the Word of God, what do? We make the wrong choice and we lay aside the Word of God so that we can have the traditions. Let's look again, beginning in verse 9. I want to read this section and then let's understand it. Verse 9 says, and he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. Now here he's going to give us an illustration. Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses his father or his mother, let him die the death. Now there's the Word of God. That first part, honor thy father and the mother. What is that? That's the fifth commandment. And none of us would dare stand up against the Ten Commandments and question those. Okay, so the Word of God. Here's the Word of God. Honor thy father and thy mother. Fifth commandment. Now he's going to demonstrate how their tradition had superseded the Word of God. We come to verse 11. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye prevent him no more to do anything for his father or his mother, making the Word of God of no effect through your traditions. Okay, we've got God's Word saying, honor your father and your mother. Now, in Jewish tradition, which was supposed to build on the Word of God and help them be stronger, have stronger faith toward God, they had come out with a tradition that said this. You can dedicate your wealth to God. And if you dedicate your wealth to God, we will give that a title. We'll call it Corban, which literally means a gift. Okay, so you sign your wealth over to the temple. And it's a contract, and there were provisions in it, and it explained all of it. And you could sign away your wealth on paper, dedicate your wealth to God by saying, Corban, it is a gift. And from then on, it could only be used for, quote unquote, spiritual purposes. In the small print, though, you could basically use it any way you wanted. But what it did give you an opportunity to do was, if there was something you didn't want to give to, you could say, pull out the form and say, I'm sorry. My wealth is Corban. It's a gift. I've given it all for God's use. Now, I think probably in the earliest part of the tradition, that was designed for people who truly loved God and wanted to make a statement that all my wealth is God's. But what did the tradition become? It had become so powerful. Here's what had happened. People were doing that and using it as a tool so that anytime they didn't want to pay for something, they could say, ah, Corban, it's a gift. I've given it all to God. See, they still had access to it. That if their mother and father was in need, older mother and father, no longer working, need help financially, and you didn't like your mother and father, you could circumvent honor thy father and thy mother by going to your parents and saying, Corban, it's a gift. I've given it all to God. I'm sorry. I wish I could help you, but I can't. Liars. Liars. They didn't want to help their parents. They didn't want to help their parents. And so the tradition came in and it grew and it became so big, and now they're making wrong choices. And Jesus just zeroed in and showed the Pharisees, he said, hey, you claim to be serving God, and yet if there's a choice between the tradition, Corban, or the word of God, honor thy father and thy mother, what do you do? You don't take care of your mother and father. That's what happens when we make wrong. We begin to make wrong choices. Why? Because we've let a tradition get too big. We claim to love God, but we no longer love the parents. Now, let's look at this again. We're saying that tradition in itself is not wrong. But we are saying when we allow it to come into religion, and let me just say, your tradition and my tradition may vary. What has become a tradition in your life, what has become a tradition in my life as far as my spiritual relationship to God may vary from person to person. But we've got to ask ourselves this. When God comes in and begins to work, do I begin to bristle when the Holy Spirit convicts me in an area that I have put up and built a framework and said everything's okay? I think it's a warning sign to us. Let's be careful. Be aware. Secondly, are we allowing those things to become so big in our lives that it's making us hypocritical? Is it making us hypocritical? If we could just let these two phrases stay with us tonight. These, I believe, are the key phrases of this passage. That is the end of verse 6. Asking ourselves, are we people who honor the Lord with our lips, but our heart is really far from me? If we know that to be true, and yet we're doing all the right things outwardly, then we've had, didn't it? Our tradition has become something that's caused us to be hypocritical. And secondly, Any time we face a decision concerning what is the right thing to do, we've got to ask ourselves, am I teaching tradition as if it were the Word of God? Several times I've had to come back and ask myself when I look at verse 7. It says, however, in vain do they worship me, because they're teaching for doctrines the commandment of men and laying aside the commandment of God. And we begin to make some wrong choices. We begin to lay aside the wrong things. Let's learn from the Pharisees tonight. Here are people that knew the Word of God and outwardly had it down, but inwardly were all wrong. Let's bow our heads.